Joining us on the phone from Cambridge is Anthony Davis, the composer of the opera X, The Life and Times of Malcolm X. Davis is also the composer of Tanya, an opera about Patty Hearst, and he leads his own jazz ensemble. This semester, he's teaching courses at Harvard on the history of jazz and on African-American composers. His cousin Talani Davis wrote the libretto for X. His brother Christopher wrote the book. Anthony Davis told me how he decided to write an opera about Malcolm X.
I guess it came about because I've been thinking for a long time about writing an opera. And I was inspired initially by Wagner and Strauss and Germanic composers. And I was looking for a subject, and I always thought Malcolm X is a hero to me, and a very complex hero. And I thought that in a way his story and the story of Malcolm X would be fantastic in terms of telling an opera. In a way, he's a heroic figure like a Ulysses or Siegfried who goes through all these transformations and, you know, signified by the changes in his name, etc. So I thought it would be a fantastic a subject for an opera that would also embrace, you know, all the conflicts and contrasts that are in my music.
Malcolm X went through so many transformations, from hoodlum to prisoner to self-educated man, leader of the nation of Islam, black nationalist, spiritual person. What are some of the different types of music that you felt would go along with those transformations that he went through?
Well, I think when I first talked about doing the opera with my brother Christopher, he had in mind the idea of the music sort of having a parallel development to the, you know, the political and social developments going on. And so for example, in the 40s, I do sort of a takeoff on some of the big band dance music, you know, Lionel Hampton, Count Basie, Duke Ellington, et cetera, you know. And then I move more toward the bebop period, et cetera. And there's even in the Zoot Suit song, there's a Fats Waller reference in that. And then later on in the music, I evoke John Coltrane, who also is an example of sort of American Islamic music, in the sense that he embraced Islam, and the Love Supreme, of course, was about Allah. And so I thought that it would be effective to look back at the music, some of the music of the '60s that I think was so sort of the musical parallel to Malcolm. In this Malcolm X in the '60s, and but the additional task of trying to create a unified structure that could embrace these idioms, you know, not necessarily having a succession of styles, but a unified musical statement.
To some extent, it might seem odd to some people that you've used a European form, the opera, to tell the story of a man who helped create an African identity for African Americans. Do you see that as a contradiction at all?
No, I don't. I think that, but the idea to me was to make that European form an American and American one, and particularly an African American form. I mean, to take something that was European. I mean, as Coleman Hawkins took the saxophone, or Johnny Hodges took an alto saxophone, or Louis Armstrong took a trumpet. I mean, they were all European instruments, and I feel that the history of blacks in America is transforming and taking something that might have been European to begin with, and making it into something quite different.
What do you like about opera as a form?
Well, I love the idea of the merger of drama and music, and the idea of setting text to music. I mean, because I love words, and I think because my father was an English professor and love literature, that I always thought about telling some of the great stories. I think there's so many stories to tell, you know, in our culture, and I'm very excited about being able to realize that through music.
Your father, the late Charles Davis, chaired the Afro-American Studies Department at Yale, and he was also the first black faculty member at Princeton. So you were brought up in a family that had a strong consciousness. I wonder if you think that Malcolm X, in a way, had a different meaning for you as somebody who already kind of came from a household with a consciousness. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that they came from a house. I think that...
Because, a lot of people talk about how Malcolm taught them to have pride in being black and to have pride in being a black man. I would assume in your house that was something that you were kind of brought up with.
Well, yeah, I think that they're somewhat different in that way. I think also my family, basically we had much more, and initially had much more bourgeois values, too, in a certain way. But I think that, but for me, I went through a whole rebellion phase in which I was really rejected a lot of sort of the assimilationist aspect, of being and I was really intrigued, for example, with the Black Panthers and the Black Power movement, et cetera, later on. So, it was interesting to me. For me, it was a different kind of revelation of really realizing my blackness and how important that was.
What were some of the bourgeois values that you rejected when you went through the rebellion?
Well, I'm saying that rather facetiously, but also to say that, I think what I meant is that I became much more interested in who I was in relation to my defining myself as a black person.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. In a sense, growing up in a community in which my brother and I were the only black kids in a school, in State College, Pennsylvania, it was very difficult in a way. I felt socially very apart from a lot of my peers. But for me, I think to realize this aspect of who I was and how important this was, and I think also it represented musically because I was a classically trained musician in classical music, and I decided to really turn my back on classical music, and I just totally dove into jazz, into the whole jazz, and to learning about African American music, and that became my focus for forever. So that was very important for me because it was part of my self definition.
My guest is composer Anthony Davis. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Anthony Davis, the composer of the opera X, The Life and Times of Malcolm X, which has just been released on CD. When you were writing the opera X, did different parts of Malcolm's life come into focus in a new way for you? Did you start finding things in his life that you hadn't noticed before or identifying with different aspects of his life than you had before?
Oh, I think so. I think that that happened all the time. I think one thing was identifying, particularly with the breakup with Elijah Muhammad. What must have felt like emotionally, for a man like Malcolm to be silenced by someone, and how he would actually kind of go with that idea for a period. That would be the worst thing. To me, to me, to get to that hollow place when Malcolm feels really that here is this father figure who he really betrayed him, and to feel that sense of betrayal and that sense of loneliness, really, and then to rebuild himself and as we did in the opera, redeemed him with the pilgrimage to Mecca, and. So that's that. That to me was, it was a very emotional thing, and it's the kind of moments that I think anyone can identify with, and then also his, all those moments of transformation this really angry young man who's full of rage that ends the first act, and then in the second act, he's just. Slowly seduced into the Nation of Islam. And it's really seduction. You have Elijah Muhammad saying, "You are not empty, nor are you lost, you're Malcolm. Cold and just, no fear of loss." And it's kind of the melodies I was creating with it. The idea of this kind of interplay, this seduction that would go on. That was very important because I think what you get at in music that's so interesting is the emotion. It's not about portraying reality in the sense of something that happens in real time. It's the inner feeling, the inner what goes on inside a person, and not only the emotions themselves, but the ideas behind the emotions.
When you were writing the opera, did you play Malcolm X's speeches a lot in the background just to get into the rhythms of his voice?
Well, I did listen to speeches. I didn't play it constantly. I mean, I'd listen to speeches. But I sort of came with a metaphor for it. I mean, I would think of, we always talk about, what's Malcolm's voice like? What's the musical equivalent to Malcolm in terms of the way he would discourse and the wit, the humor, etc. And I began to think of and also the rhythm of his language, you know, the use of repetition, the short phrases, etc. And I began to think of how Miles Davis plays the trumpet, you know. So I was very interested in that, you know. So there are moments when I'm setting his words to music that I said, like the background, etc., has that kind of feeling, because I'm thinking about a lot of that kind of staccato, rhythmic, really active rhythmic playing.
Is there a section you have in mind that you're thinking of?
Oh, I think it's when the section when one of the speeches, when I was little, they called me nigger so much, I thought it was my... I mean, in the background is this kind of really funk groove, you know, that's in a kind of odd meter. So it has this metric pattern underneath it. But also that... I like the idea of these short little phrases, these little germs of phrases in there.
So you haven't seen the movie Malcolm X yet, have you?
Oh.
Are you looking forward to seeing it?
Oh, yes, very much. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to see it. I want to see it. I'm going to go with my son to see it later this week.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, Anthony Davis, thanks a lot for talking with us.
All right, well, thank you.
Anthony Davis is the composer of X, The Life and Times of Malcolm X. A recording of this opera has just been released by Gramavision. I'm Terry Gross.